Well, why should we watch tonight? Well, we are designing this series to give you relatable and inspiring stories of faith, examples of faith to help you live the Christian life. Tonight, we want this message to inspire you to judge God as faithful, to judge God as faithful. And so here's what we're doing. Then, profiles in faith. There are heroines, too. So not only heroes of the faith, but the female version of heroes, heroines of the faith. And so we're going to learn that Sarah judged God to be faithful. So in the middle of the story of Abraham, the inspired prophet of God writing the book of Hebrews takes time to introduce the first female hero of the faith. And it is here that she chooses to overlook the physical limitations of her life, of her own barrenness, to become a woman of great faith and to become a very fruitful mother. And here's what verse 11 says. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So do you see our proposition there in verse 11? She judged him faithful. And because she did, we can too. So we want to observe three things which show us how Sarah learned to judge God to be faithful. Now this word judge, it means to consider, to count on, to esteem God as one who is faithful. It starts out on a negative note by looking at the failures of Sarah's faith, which were very great and very notable. So we see the prevalence of unbelief. In Genesis 17, verse 17, we find out that Sarah is 90 years old. Now, we don't see 90-year-old women giving birth to children in our culture, not even with all of the wonderful advances in fertility technology. We just don't see that taking place. And so, in her day and age, this was an impossibility. And when God came to her and to her husband in Genesis chapter 18 and said, by this time next year, you're going to have the ability to have children, Sarah laughed and laughed at the promise that she would have a child. And so, it was for a time that she laughed at the promise. It was impossible for God to make this good. And so she considered it an outrageous thing. That's why she laughed. And God called her on it too, saying, why did she laugh? And so the angel was in all earnest, all seriousness. This was not a joke. This was truly God's promise to her. Now, it's very interesting when you read the lives of the patriarchs. Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel were all barren women. And it took the intervention of God to bring about the existence of this nation. Also, if you notice, the firstborn of each one of them was not the one to inherit the promises. Abraham's firstborn was not the one to inherit the promise, but Isaac was. It was not Esau, but Jacob. And so we see that God sets this up to show that He is fully in charge. And so we'll see tonight by the end of the story that she embraces a story, a promise, which at first caused her to laugh. Now, this is an encouraging example. So if Sarah can come to a point of doubting God to where she actually judges Him to be counted faithful, she's esteeming, reckoning Him to be so, then we can too. Even though there is a prevalence of unbelief. But then there was also the peculiarity of unbelief. She was in peculiar circumstances. And this might be a human tendency for all of us, is to think that our very unique circumstances are peculiar to us. And therefore, God has never dealt with this before. And maybe we shouldn't count on Him. And so we need to get rid of that idea and dismiss that altogether. Now, the peculiar circumstances here was the trial and the long delay in the promise in which God gave to them. to the birth of Isaac, the legitimate heir, through this promise that there would be an innumerable number of people from him, an innumerable seed. And so it seemed to be out of the question in the natural course of things. And so that's the difference between where Sarah was naturally. God, this is an impossibility, to spiritually saying, hey, this is something that God has promised. He's going to bring it about. And so God promised Abraham a seed. And he made it plain that the seed was to be through Sarah and not through another woman. And, you know, Sarah was 90 years old and long past the time when she could have children. The solution was not in some kind of compromise. But, you know, at one particular point, we'll see that Sarah complicates the issue. In her unbelief, in peculiar trials in that unbelief, she had a moment of weakness where she convinced Abraham to take a female slave, her handmaiden, Hagar, to his bed that he might have a posterity. Now, this sin of hers would make it more difficult for her to act by faith afterwards. Now, we have the benefit of seeing this from Hebrews chapter 11, but that's hindsight. But we didn't have that available, or Sarah did not have that available to her at the time. And so there was the prevalence of unbelief. There was the peculiarity of their particular situation, the infertility. And by the way, that's a very difficult and sensitive subject for those that are trying to bear children and cannot. All I'm going to do is to say this: seek the will of God and trust God in that situation. It's not something that God is unfamiliar with and God does not know how to handle. Now, this led to the probability of unbelief. And the great improbability of this thing promised that she should be the mother of a child when she was physically unable. She was sterile. And now she's past the age of childbearing. And so she had to embrace a promise which caused her to laugh. Here's the difference between unbelief and faith. There was another couple struggling with infertility in the gospel account. And that was Zacharias and Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist. And the angel Gabriel came and announced to Zacharias that he would have a son. And he struggled with unbelief at the announcement. And he said, how can this be? Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. But Mary, when she was approached by the angel Gabriel and said, you're going to have a son, she said, how shall this be? Not how can this be, but how shall this be? There's a difference in that word. God, I know you're capable of doing whatever you want to do. How shall this be? Not how can this be? And so let that be a lesson for us. When God gives us difficult circumstances, don't ask the question, how can this be changed? How can this be different? But how shall this be different? And you might just find that the change takes place inside of you. You know, here the author of Hebrews is addressing ordinary Christians. In every age, there will be tests of our faith. Jesus has promised us that in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33, that there will always be trials and conflicts in life, but it is our faith that overcomes it. And so there's this promise of God is always in the context of final triumph. And so here's our proposition. Judge God to be faithful. And so now let's look here at the second point, the feats of Sarah's faith. There's probably or prominently two of these. She received power and she also received the promise. Now, this phrase that she received power can be translated in two different ways, and I'll explain those. One is a spiritual application, and then the second is that physically she received strength. Now, we know that the primary interpretation, the literal interpretation, is for sure there in the text that God restored to Abraham and to Sarah the ability to have a child. But there was a transformation that has to take place in this woman's heart from someone who laughed in unbelief, for someone who struggled with the reality of barrenness and tried to come up with her own solutions at the time of surrogacy, where she learned to trust God. And so I believe that there is also a spiritual application here where she received power for her own faith. And so here is what the scripture says in verse 11. It says that Sarah herself received strength to conceive. So there was not only a physical strengthening, which we'll look at later, but there was a spiritual strengthening that she received the faith to believe God, her own faith, that Sarah herself, her own faith. And that's what the structure of verse 11 can imply. So how is this consistent with the account of Sarah's behavior, where the angel in Genesis chapter 18, verses 12 through 16, censured her for her unbelief with respect to the promise of God? Well, the answer to this is that her unbelief is temporary. And she then succeeds that unbelief by faith, and proved by the result that she received power, that God worked in her heart to change her. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so she had to keep focusing upon the words that God had given to her. Her unbelief is pardoned and forgotten, but her faith prevails and is recorded in the scripture for us. And so here's a wonderful thing. You might tonight be struggling in unbelief, but God can forgive that unbelief. And what is remembered is not your failures, but your obedience to the Lord. That you were one who did trust Him. And it is your faith that overcomes. It is the faith that is the victory in our lives. And the solution was to believe God, something which both Abraham and Sarah had to do together as a couple, with the eventual result that the impossible did happen. For what is with impossible with men is not impossible with God. That is not only a New Testament quotation, that is also an Old Testament quotation. Now, let's look here. Not only did she receive power, but she received the promise. They received the promise in one sense as just promises. So if you're here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, go down to verse 17 with me. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. So there was belief in the promise before there was actually proof. And so both Abraham and Sarah herself as a heroine of our faith, shows us that she received God's word, the promise. Now there are many promises in the Bible. We should look at those as facts and rely upon them and count upon them. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given unto us. And those are great and exceedingly precious promises. God has made you many promises. Judge Him to be faithful to carry through on His promises. And so she received the promise, just believing the word of God. And then being convinced of that, she judged that God could and would perform it. So not only do you have to believe that God is, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And so seek and look for the way, how shall this be? Not how can this be, but how shall this be? Look for ways that God is working in your life. Follow His leading. Look for a God sighting in your life. And so God is not going to deceive His people with His promises. When He makes a promise, it's going to become true. Now let's look at our closing point here tonight. But once again, let's be reminded of our proposition. Count God to be faithful. Judge him to be faithful. And then the third point tonight is the fruit of Sarah's faith. And so three wonderful things for us to consider here. She received strength to conceive. She delivered a child and she started a nation. So Sarah herself, old Sarah, believed God had promised and she received power. This is living by faith, accepting as facts the truths that we cannot touch, feel, or see. Wow. You know, we've gone through this somewhat in the identification truths in Romans chapter 6. Those are facts, not feelings. Don't let your Christian life be run by emotions, but rather by faith on the facts of God's promises. And now this was not simple. So let's not make the mistake of equating some simplicity of faith and or in an effectiveness, because we see that the chapter moves on to record the accomplishments of Sarah. And so that she received strength to conceive. Now, this is very interesting in the Greek. It means a casting down of seed. And to bring about then a fertilization of the seed. So in other words, she received strength to conceive. The Greek word actually, it talks about the male seed. And there is an enablement that takes place here. All of these heroes of the faith and heroines of the faith in chapter 11, verses 4 through 31, are enabled by God because of faith. Faith is enablement by God. And we're able to see how faith expressed itself in their lives. We see the writer then analyze each life that faith enables. And so faith will enable you. God will enable you through faith. Now, this is not the strength of our own abilities or natures, our own resources. God changed all of that. And through His grace, He makes the barren soul fruitful. He made the barren mother fruitful. And so she received strength to conceive. Now, let me just take a moment to share my heart as a pastor. This word to conceive that we find in our texts, okay, this is a very important word, because today there's a debate about when does life begin, and it begins at conception. And this is the only word that Scripture uses as the start of life. Beginning in Genesis, all the way through the end of the Bible, this is the word. Life begins at conception. And life is sacred. Life is in the image of God. And so you're anticipating where this is going. But January, there's an emphasis on the sanctity of life. And we need to be a voice for the unborn. In America, we have perpetuated a Holocaust that is much worse than what Nazi Germany did. And the fact that we have murdered 50 million souls through what we think is political expediency. Think of the human waste of life. And so life begins at conception. This is very clear. And so Sarah then is evidently regarded in the closest union with Abraham. And so this is the next thing here, is that she's going to deliver a child at the age of 90. A child, a male child, a child of promise that God is going to do this. And just as when he was just as good as dead as well. She is one with him in this process. The promise was to Abraham, and the trusting, and if you will, the faithing, was primarily his. But not his alone. Sarah joined by faith with him. And let me make an application to marriages. Husbands and wives, you stand in the grace of God. Stand in the grace of God together. Let your prayers be answered. Be spiritual together. Husbands, love your wives, lead them spiritually. Wives, respect your husbands. Let's remember that we don't advance beyond the basics of Christian family essentials of love and respect and obedience on the children's part and respect and honor. So these are the things. And a wife and a husband are a team, and they rise and they fall together. And so Sarah was a wonderful helpmeet to her husband in this regard. Her faith, in fact, contributed to the starting of the multiplication of her husband's seed when Abraham was as good as dead. And so without Sarah, Abraham is useless. Okay? As every man knows, he has no powers, no graces of his own. Everything that's good about him comes from the help of his wife. And so she delivered a child. She received strength to conceive, and she started a nation. And from them, this son Isaac comes and sprang a numerous seed as the multitude of the sand on the seashore and the stars of heaven. And it became a renowned nation. We call that nation today Israel. And this is our example. And her faith then is also an example of those that would believe through Abraham's example of faith. He really is the father of faith. That he believed God and God counted it to him as righteousness. And even Sarah herself believed God. And we are also, as the church, a peculiar nation. Now, we don't replace the promises of Israel, but we are spiritual Israel, and that the fact that we have faith in the same God that Abraham and Sarah did, we have faith through Christ. And so from these two elderly Hebrews, who were as good as dead, came a nation teeming with life, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and the sand on the shore. And so we find out that God's dealings with men and women in the early chapters of Genesis, recorded here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, still speak to our lives today. Take some time to meditate on how that speaks to us. You know, when we hear people talk about faith, we hear this term people of faith. Well, how does that differ from real biblical faith and the popular vogue concept of faith? Have you ever experienced times in your life where faith in God has been tested? What have you learned from such experiences? Have these lessons helped you to judge God to be faithful? Well, let's close with our benediction, Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. Well, thank you for taking time to watch with us tonight. It's an honor to worship the Lord Jesus Christ together. And so please comment, like, and share. And remember to pray for us. You have a good evening now. Thank you so much.